attracted to the good doctor?
No! Hello, and welcome back to Super Hell, aka the Mystery Spotcast, a show where two recovering supernatural fans subject themselves to a rewatch so no one else ever, ever has to watch Supernatural again. My name is Ollie. I use any pronouns, and you can find me on social media at Ollie Fresh. That's Fresh with a PH.
And my name is Claudia. You can find me on social media at Claudia Says, K-A-L-U-D-I-A Says. My pronouns are she, her. So we are back after our little hiatus to continue the season 3 recap, otherwise known as the Castiel Countdown.
To be fair, there has been an episode since we took our little hiatus, but we recorded it before.
So yeah.
It's a little bit goofy, but
yeah. We are also in a post, well, not post, the WGA writer strike is currently occurring, and also the Winchesters was canceled.
It's a fucking nightmare world.
Yeah, we're in hell. I mean, we knew that the Winchesters would probably get canceled, and like they knew as well. So like they were prepping. Like the Save the Winchesters campaign is out there. Like to all our listeners, we're gonna mobilize you guys. Like we're gonna save the Winchesters, just the Mystery Spotcast listeners.
We are gonna produce it. Like I'm saying, if everyone can go to my Venmo and send me $5, I personally will produce season 2 of the Winchesters, seasons 2 through 5, because they have like a 5 at 5 season. Laid out.
Finding out that they have that ready to go, that was crazy to me. And they're apparently Jensen's production company has a first look deal with Amazon Studios. So I'm like, okay, get cooking. Unless Warner Brothers doesn't want to give up the IP. I don't know how they're working it out, but like get cooking, because I need to see Carlos and Lata again.
Mary and John, whatever. Enough of them. Carlos and Lata, I need you guys back.
I need them back.
No, because the next thing you know, they're going to be like, we're removing it from HBO Max. I'm sorry, from Max.
Well, right now it's super. The Winchesters is on Max. God, it's that hateful saying Max.
No, like, I know. And for that reason, I won't be doing it. It's not because I can't remember. It's out of protest.
It's like when old ladies are like, no, it's a Kleenex. Like, that's going to be me calling it. No, it's HBO Max.
That's going to be me and my children. If HBO Max is still around by the time I have children and are old enough to talk and understand, that's a problem.
Okay, so
the two also the WGA writer strike, give them whatever they want, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, just give them what they want. It's not that hard. You guys are making studios, you'll have just so much money. Just give the writers more money, you stupid fucks. Expand your writer's room and don't end writers' contracts before production even starts.
Yeah, maybe, possibly. I don't know. That's a concept.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe shows would get better if you pay them and then let them, you know, work on the show. Who's to say?
Who's to say? Hmm. Who knows? I mean, I'm not Mr. Moneybags, but
if I were.
If I were Mr. Moneybags.
We are. Not only are we funding season 2 of the Winchesters, we're also going to pay all of the writers who are on strike right now.
So, out of my own pocket.
Yeah, both of our extremely deep pockets that we definitely have.
Anyway, so unfortunately we do have to talk about Supernatural on Supernatural podcast.
I forgot. I was about to end the episode.
Yeah. So, we are on season 3, episode 5 and 6. And the reason that we keep talking about the writer's strike, as we've probably mentioned before, is that season 3 of Supernatural is shorter than most Supernatural seasons because of the previous writer's strike. So we're going to be plowing on through this puppy. And also, you know, what occurs at the end of this season and everything, it was kind of rushed to finish. Kind of like the whole end of the series, which had to rush to finish and film because of COVID. You know, it's like poetry rhymes, one might say.
Yeah, it's fucked up that Supernatural, you know, for season 3, they've got kind of an excuse. Like, you know, the writer's strike was going on and we cut down the season. the end of the show, y'all did not have that excuse. Y'all wish you had, that you wish the writer's strike had happened like 3 years earlier. So you guys could be like, oh, the end of the show sucked ass because it was a writer's strike. No, the end of the show just sucked ass. Where's a writer's strike when you need one?
Like, okay, I know that the last episode was not what they wanted it to be because of COVID. I know that. That being said, it was still probably going to have the same plot and I would have my same issues. Anyway, we can't get into this. We can't get into this rage right now.
We just start getting really angry.
So, the two episodes we're going to talk about today, the one I want to tell you about is season 3, episode 5, Bedtime Stories. Now, both of these episodes are pretty iconic, both in, like, you have seen GIFs of them on Tumblr.com and in just, like, iconic moments in Supernatural. This episode, Bedtime Stories, is very, like, this is a thing that we haven't done in our Supernatural TV show yet that we probably were going to get to eventually. It's the fairy tales episode. And it is also the very much the we're solving a case, but it's a metaphor for our interpersonal conflict between the brothers. And the ongoing interpersonal conflict is Dean made a deal for Sam so that he would live. And Sam's like, hey, girl, like, let's try to get you out of this deal so that you don't die in a year. And Dean's like, live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. I don't care.
I would also argue that this is one of the better episodes that deals with, that is like a metaphor for the Winchester's real life. Like, I think it's very silly, but it is very poignant at the end. So, and this was written by Catherine Humphreys, who did the episode Dead Man's Blood from season 1, The Unusual Suspects, Born Under a Bad Sign. And did a couple others later on, but...
All right. Okay. So we start out where we're late at night at a construction site, and there's three men arguing about construction materials. Their names are Jack, Emmett, and Kyle. They have different opinions of talking about, like, wood and brick. Kyle wants to use cinder blocks. Emmett is like, no, I want to use, like, this, whatever. Spoiler alert, they're supposed to be like the three little pigs. Now, here we have some canonical fat phobia in Supernatural, because they're like, what if we had three fat guys be the three little pigs? Okay.
I also have to preface, because at first this would seem like, whoa, that's a huge spoiler, whatever. First of all, the title is Bedtime Stories. Second of all, when the episode opens, there's like a billboard, and the construction company is called Once Upon a Time. So there's this big sign that says Once Upon a Time. And then we see these three guys being like, I'm the brick guy. No, brother, I want to use some pipes. No, dude, I want to use wood. And it's like, okay, come on now.
ABC's Once Upon a Time wishes it was this episode. Because I'll say the first season of Once Upon a Time, this is giving this episode. Like, it's very much. They really watched this and they were like, hold on. As I said, Supernatural has a gift for everything. And they have a gift for Once Upon a Time as well. So they're arguing. The one brother, Kyle, hears a suspicious growling. And when he investigates, he doesn't find anything. And they're like, all right, let's go. And then the brother Jack is attacked by this unseen creature, and he's like pulled behind something. And Emmett goes to help him.
Well, Jack gets pulled behind something. He's standing next to some metal poles, just to keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah. And Emmett goes to help Jack, but Kyle runs behind a pile of bricks.
Also, Emmett, who is standing next to a deposit of wood.
Very, yeah. He's terrified. They're screaming. And then everything goes silent. And Kyle finds his two dead brothers. And then there's this low growling. And then he gets attacked. But he doesn't die. He just gets attacked. And then they're like, Supernatural. You know what? I know I said in a previous episode I didn't like this opening. I'm warming to it. It's a good title card. It's decent.
It's fine. It's definitely one that's like, oh, yeah, okay. Like, it tries to be as iconic as season 1, and it never will be.
You're never going to be season one, girl. Mm-hmm.
Period. And that's on what? Period.
Yeah. So, we cut to, we're in the Impala with the two brothers, and, they have now restored the colt, as a little bit of a recap, and Sam is already, he is arguing with Dean, and he's like, we've got it, let's go kill the Crossroads Demon, let's go, and Dean's like, no, we don't know if killing it will release me from the deal, and they said, if I try to mess with it, you will drop dead, absolutely fucking not, and Sam is like, when are you going to care about yourself? Blah, blah, blah. They're having like an all out screaming fight. It's bad. It's girlies. It's bad. And then Dean like deflects like mid argument. And he's like, so anyway, tell me about these killings. And you know, they've done this so many times. They're like, and what if I avoided my feelings by talking about serial killers? And so Sam's like, okay, like, you know, there's been these people dying. I think it's an animal. It's probably a werewolf, but like the full moon is like only in a couple of days. We don't have a lot of time. So let's hustle and bustle. They get to this place called Maple Springs and they go to visit Kyle in the hospital. And they are, I think they're just as, FBI agents.
Just federal agents.
And they get there and he's like, oh, I've been waiting for you. And they're like, huh? And Dean's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah, the portrait artist, so that they could tell you about the suspect. And they're like, yeah, sure. And Dean, like, turns to Sam and is like, the portrait. It's so dark. It's so dire.
No, he has this shit-eating little grin, and he's like, yeah, my partner here's the sketch artist. Yeah, go for it. Here, start describing him. And Sam's like, okay.
Yeah, so he starts, like, telling him the story. He's like, Jack and Emmett, they were killed. They were my brothers. And he's like, yeah, there's this ordinary guy. He had this, like, they were like, did he have weird eyes? Did it look like a creature? He was like, no. But I think he had a tattoo of, like, a Looney Tunes character. I can't remember the one. What was it? The one that's chased by the Roadrunner. And, of course, Dean's like, Wile E. Coyote!
He was so excited to have known it.
Moments in autism. There are many Dean moments in autism in this episode. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's, sir, I have some news. And he's like, yeah, I think it was just like a regular guy. And they're like, huh? So Dean's like, okay, have fun, and leaves Sam to it. And Kyle asked to see Sam's sketch. And it's like a stick man drawing.
It has the goofiest little face too, like, with, because it's like, you can tell he said he had normal teeth and then he just drew a mouth with like how a child would draw teeth. It was so funny.
It's very funny.
And he's like, yeah, it's a work in progress. And Kyle's like, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's so dark. Then we cut to, there is a man and a woman and they're hiking in the woods and they're clearly lost. They come upon like small house and there's this like sweet old lady and they're like, oh my God, we're so hungry. We're so tired or whatever. And she's like, oh my gosh, I'll help you guys, whatever. And they're like, okay, whatever. So they sit down to eat whatever. And then they're eating, they're finishing up their meal. And the old lady is like, oh, like, you know, like, was it good? Like, do you want more? Whatever. And the guy's like, he like looks kind of odd. And he's like, actually, I think I'm full. Like, I think I'm good. And then he starts to like pass out. And he clearly ate all of it. And the woman is like, like, she's not done eating. And she's like, what the fuck? And they're like, did you drug us? And the old lady's like, tee. And then she starts attacking them and fatally stabs the man. Do we see how the woman gets away? Okay, we don't. Eventually, Sam and Dean get to question the woman. Her name is Julie. And she's like, yeah, so I saw this young girl. Yeah.
Another important thing we should note is that they questioned, what's his face? At the hospital, Kyle. They questioned Kyle at the hospital.
Yeah.
And they talked with his doctor, Dr. Garrison, for like a hot second. And then it's a really like jarring transition too. Like, we don't really get to see a lot. Like, they're just suddenly at the hospital again talking to this woman.
Yeah.
Like, it happens very suddenly.
You're like, whoa.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
Her doctor's also Dr. Garrison.
Yeah.
So just, it's at the same hospital in this same town.
Yeah. And what she says to them is that she's like, so I saw this young girl at the window and she was like watching this happen and this stabbing happen. And it was very weird. And that's all I really remember. And they're like, okay. So Sam and Dean like go out in the woods. They find the old lady's house. There's like really high EMF readings. There's like, okay, there was some sort of spirit. And this is the part. Okay. Again, this is 2007. Sam's like, okay, so I have a theory. I think it's fairy tales. And he's like, there's the three brothers that are the three little pigs, the woman and her boyfriend, or the Hansel and Gretel. And he's like, maybe a spirit is controlling the people involved in the murders. And Dean says to him,
good old Dean,
what are you, gay?
No, he says, have you ever been more gay?
Yeah, have you ever been more gay? But is it specifically in response to him knowing him saying, like,
it's about him knowing a lot about fairy tales.
Yeah, it was like, and he says to Dean, he's like, oh, you know, like, because he's like, because he starts like, he starts talking about the lore and he's like, well, yeah, because the fairy tales used to be really like fucked up and crazy and then they got sanitized. And Dean is like, could you be any more gay? And
no, like, fellas, is it gay to read the Brothers Grimm?
Apparently. Also, why do you think it's gay?
No. Because he's clinging on to masculinity. He's clinging on to heteronormativity by, like, a fucking thread. He's like, I don't do that. That's gay.
Like, what's gayer than a man in 2007 who calls everybody else gay?
What's gayer than a man?
Like, Sam is so comfortable in his sexuality, and Dean is like, hello? Yeah. Dean has another moment of questioning everything about himself. In the other episode we're going to talk about, I'm really like, sir, the slippery slope of bisexuality is hitting you. Like,
what were the writer? What were they thinking? I just,
who knows? Every day I wonder. It's such a jarring line because it just kind of comes out of nowhere. I feel like if I was Jensen reading it, I would have been like, the fuck? Like,
no, this show also, like, they make gay jokes every so often, but they don't, like, I don't remember a time where Sam or Dean just like called each other like, what, gay? Like, he's like I don't remember that ever happening. I would have loved if Dean had used a slur. I think that would have been hilarious. Well,
especially in that time period, like, calling somebody gay was like it being like a slur a bit. So,
that is true.
You know, it was like, what are you, gay? It was like calling somebody stupid a little bit too. So,
well, yeah.
If you're just like, okay, wow, all right, damn, apparently liking understanding fairy tales. I was like, Dean, you never watched a fucking Disney movie? Like, calm down.
Is it gay to understand culture?
No, and literally later on, he's like, well, you understand fairy tales and I understand movies. And I'm like, okay, but there's fairy tales that are made into movies.
And you know what? Two deeply gay things to say.
Yeah. And he's like, and that's your hyperfixation. You are gay for your hyperfixation. I am normal and not autistic.
And I'm so straight and I'm so neurotypical. It's insane, Sam. You stupid gay bitch.
The things that I enjoy are hospital procedurals, Looney Tunes, and Scooby-Doo. Things that normal, neurotypical, straight people like.
Yeah, straight 27-year-old men like.
You're like, okay, King, sure.
Oh, he's
So anyways, So Dean is super skeptical of all this, but then they see a pumpkin and some mice outside a house in this town. And inside...
Obsessed. Also, the pumpkin... Sam is like, look, Dean, a pumpkin. And Dean's like, yeah, it's close to Halloween, I guess. Sam's like, mm-mm, no, we need to figure out what's going on over there.
Inside, clearly, Cinderella is occurring. There's this young woman. Her stepmother has chained her up. And as they're trying to save her, Dean sees this little girl. And it has to be the same girl that Julie saw at the cottage. She is dressed like fucking Samantha from American Girl. You're like, what the fuck era is she from? She has really pale skin and really dark hair. And she's just looking at him. And when he follows her, she disappears. And she leaves behind this little red apple. And then when Sam finds out this out, he's like, oh my God, this has to be Snow White. Her stepmother poisoned her with the apple. And they're like, okay, so maybe it's a girl who went missing. So they're like, okay, let's look. Maybe she went missing. Maybe she was killed, whatever. And they can't find anybody. They can't find, like, the records of a missing girl. So they go back to the hospital, and they're like, okay, are there any kids in a coma here? Are there any people in a coma here? And a nurse is like, okay, there's no kids in a coma here. Sorry. But actually, there is a person in a coma. Dr. Garrison, who you've been talking to, actually his daughter has been here for like 15, 20 years or something. And they're like, what? Her name is Callie. She's been in a coma since she was 8. And they go into the room and the doctor is reading to this girl who is comatose. And she is now a fully grown woman and she has really pale skin and really dark hair. And he is reading her fairy tales and she looks like an older version of that girl. And they find out that she swallowed bleach, which led to her being in a coma. I don't think that's how biology works, but okay. And they're like, oh, her stepmother definitely poisoned her. That has to be what it is. And they're like, okay, her spirit must be really enraged. And what's interesting here is that, like, they're clearly using information, because when Dean was in the hospital and he was on the brink and his spirit was traversing around, it's very similar to that somebody who's been on the brink that long, that their spirit can waltz around as if they were dead, but they're not. And they're like, okay, so she was poisoned by her stepmother. She's getting pissed and she's acting out the fairy tales because she's trying to get someone's attention to know who did this to her. And
which is like a solution. It's a solution they come to very quickly.
Yeah.
Like, they basically put this together and they're like, you know what? Sorry, we don't need to do any more investigating. We know exactly what's going on.
You're like, okay. And they're like, yeah, well, since I'm also neurodivergent and a minor, if I was in a coma and they had been reading me these stories this whole time, that's how I would reach out as well. And I'm like, very normal behavior. Anyway. Yeah. So another victim is brought to the hospital. There's an old woman and her granddaughter, who's wearing a red hoodie, has disappeared. And Dean's like, okay, there's going to be another attack. And he's like, I'm going to go find her. And Sam tries to have a conversation with Dr. Garrison, the girl's father. And he's like, hey, so your wife probably did this to her. Like, whatever. And he's like, no, like, she would never do that. Like, what are you talking about? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Blah, 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 blah. And he's like, are you sure? Like, have you seen anything weird? Because, like, her spirit has appeared to people, whatever. And he's like, oh.
Sam is also like, you're not, I know you're not going to believe me. I know I sound fucking crazy. And this dude's like, I don't think you're actually a federal agent. He's like, no, I am not. I am not actually, is the funny thing.
The number of times that has happened in Supernatural, and they're like, yep, you got me. You got me. It's so funny. And so then the guy's like, yeah, so actually I have seen my daughter's spirit. I sensed her there. I've seen her. I thought it was crazy. Oops. And Sam's like, girl, really? Meanwhile, Dean finds this young girl who is being attacked by this man who kidnapped her. And
he found her by, like, when the lady got brought into the hospital, the grandma, he asked, like, oh, do we know where the next of kin lives? And that's where he went. Yeah. So it was like, it's like the big bad wolf when he takes little Red, like, appears at grandma's house and takes little Red.
Yeah. And also, he has the fucking Looney Tunes tattoo. I don't know where that comes in. That's not really
explained. I think it was just to... Well, okay, here's my thought. My thought is that he was just a guy who had a Looney Tunes tattoo, and because Wile E. Coyote is wolf-like, Callie was like, that and was like, you're going to be the big bad wolf, you random man.
I'm kind of obsessed with her mind.
That's what I thought the implication was. I could be wrong, but I think that's what the deal is.
I guess. So we keep cutting back and forth, basically, between Dean trying to save this girl and Sam being like, Dr. Garrison, we got to do something. You got to get through to your daughter somehow because she is trying to talk to us and it is killing people. And he's like, I can't believe that my wife would have done this. And her spirit finally does appear to him and he's like, oh shit, okay, so she did do this, okay, yeah. And when he finally accepts it and realizes that she did it, then his daughter dies and like she flatlines in real life.
He has this very like this guy, this actor playing Dr. Garrison, was serving because he had this very like very intense like parental conversation where he was like doing the thing that parents do when they try not to cry.
Yeah.
And he was talking to her and he was like, I'm sorry, like I've seen you here and I'm sorry I wasn't ready to listen, but I'm here to listen now. I need you to, I understand, I know what your mom did to you, your stepmom. He's like, I know what she did to you and I'm sorry I didn't listen sooner, but you have to stop what you're doing because people are getting hurt. And then like the little girl looks at like her body and then herself, like the adult woman who's in a coma, flatlines.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And it's so sad because it's also like Sam before that is like, you need to let her go. Like you have to be ready to let her go. And he's like, no, it's very much a like about accepting things that are hard to accept and then learning to let go of things. And it's just, feel like this episode, it's hard because I feel like in this format, in this podcasty format, it's hard to express, but like, I really, really liked this scene. Yeah. Like I thought it was really well done.
It's very funny though, considering it's supposed to be like, Sam, you're supposed to learn about letting your brother go. But then the rest of the show is like, actually they never fucking let it go. They never grieve. They never let shit go. They are incapable of letting it go. Constantly it's a problem and they make it everybody's fucking problem. They are consistently taught this lesson though. When her spirit disappears and the girl in real life like flatlines, the man who's attacking Dean like gets back to his normal self and he's like confused. I'm like, this poor man's life is fucking ruined.
No, because he also killed two other people.
Like,
and I think three, because I think the grandma died. So it was like he killed three people. And then there's like one man who he mortally wounded. Well, not mortally wounded, but he wounded him pretty bad. And he saw him enough to ID him. Like, dog, you are going to jail.
Like, it's very dark. Sam and Dean leave. They say goodbye to the doctor. And the doctor's like, yeah, I wish I could have let her go earlier and so that she hadn't been suffering and so that other people wouldn't have suffered. And then Dean is like, yeah, you need to learn how to let go as well. And I'm like, that's so funny considering you're the person who made a fucking demon deal because you couldn't let your brother go. But like, sure, Jan. Okay, pot. Here's kettle. They go back to their motel room. You think the episode is finished, but it's not. They go back to their motel room and they are asleep. Well, Dean is asleep. And we see that Sam has awoken, is packing his little bag, and he sneaks out of the motel room. And he goes to summon the crossroads demon. You're like, these two brothers are so fucking annoying.
I mean, it's so challenging too, because I'm like, guys, how many dirt crossroads are there? And like, they're so lucky what their proximity is. Like, do they have to plug that into like Google Maps, be like, dirt crossroads, dirt intersection, like, what are we doing?
Yeah. So this demon shows up and she's like, oh, I've seen the whole family and now I get to see, get to see Sammy. Oh my god. And she's fucking with him and he's like, listen, here's what's gonna happen. You're going to let Dean out of his deal or I'm going to shoot you. And she's like, oh, I see that you repaired the Colt. Oh, that was Ruby who helped you. Interesting. And he's like, oh, shit. They know who Ruby is? Fuck. And she starts taunting him and being like, aren't you going to be a little relieved when Dean dies? You're not going to be the little brother who has to do stuff anymore. And it's kind of a reference to earlier in the episode when they were fighting in the Impala. Which I forgot to say, and Sam, this is something fucking lethal, where Dean is like, you just have to let me go or do whatever, and Sam's like, no, I actually don't, because you're not dad. And you're like, oh.
No, it was such a hater move. And then Dean was like, well, I am the oldest and I'm doing what's best.
And I'm like, sir, you're almost 30. Get it together.
No, that was such a hater move on Sam's part. No. Sam really is like a professional hater.
No, when he was like, because you're not dead, I was like, oh. It was so crazy. It was wild and crazy.
Kind of had him gagged, not gonna lie.
He kind of slayed in that moment. He was like, dad's not here. I can beat your ass. So they very much, and then Dean, yeah, is like, I'm the oldest. and Sam's like, I'm a grown man. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, you may be the oldest, but I'm a grown ass adult and I don't focus on which one of us is 4 years older, okay?
I'm a grown man. And you make stupid ass choices.
And which one of us went to college?
Which one of us? Well, I was going to say went to law school, but he didn't end up going.
Flop. Uneducated. L plus ratio plus uneducated.
This is just to drag Dean. Anybody else, you're okay. So she's taunting him and she's like, well, you don't have to be the little brother anymore. You don't have to whatever. Aren't you going to be relieved? Aren't you going to be whatever? And you're like, oh, that cuts a little deep. And he's like, all right, pony up or else I'm going to kill you. And she's like, oh, that's not going to break the deal. You think the deal is like with me? She's like, I'm just the saleswoman. And this is the introduction of some of the lore that we'll get into later. When we talk about like Crowley running hell, whatever. And I'm like, it's a multi-level marketing scheme. She's just an employee. Like, she's just a customer sales rep.
She's a representative of the brand. She's an affiliate of the brand.
Oh my god, she's trying to get the pink Cadillac.
Exactly. No, that's exactly what I'm thinking of. Mm-hmm.
And doing a deal to get Dean Winchester's soul, that got her the pink Cadillac. She's not giving that up. You know?
And now she's holding on to it. She's like, no, I cannot be listening to you, Sam. I'm getting my fucking pink car. Kill
like,
yourself.
She's in the inner circle. Like,
mm-hmm. She's, mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. She's finally moving all of the product that she started with, that she had to purchase for her buy-in.
And so she's like, oh, this isn't with me. Like, this is with my boss. Like, he has it, whatever. And he's like, well, who's your boss? And she's like, I can't tell you that. And you're like, okay, well, clearly that's clear who it is. Like, who the fuck you think it is?
Like, the person who's, hell, whoever's in charge of hell is probably who the contract is with, dog. Like, Sam.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I think the, for Sam and Dean, like, the amalgamous idea of, like, hell and heaven and any sort of deity, and I think, like, it's kind of implied that for most of the supernatural universe, that is a very amalgamous thing. Like, the idea of demons being real is only a recent development, despite the fact that, like, there is, like, established lore about them in universe. Like, where it's like, John had a oh my gosh, what is it called? An exorcism written down, but then suddenly other people know about the exorcism, despite the fact that, like, the Winchesters are like, and Bobby are like, yeah, demons, they're, like, maybe not even real. We don't really know anything about them. But then Bobby's like, actually, I know how to make a devil trap. And I also know how to do all this stuff. So it's kind of, you never know.
It's kind of, they're kind of like, yeah, so demons are real. I don't want to think about the implications of that. And that's kind of all we know. So Sam's like, wait, what? And then Sam's like, eh, fuck it, and shoots her anyway.
She's like, what are you going to do? Shoot me? You can do it if you want. It's not going to do anything. And Sam went, bet, and just shoots her, like, right in the forehead, too.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be an indicator that, like, Sam is in his fucked up era, because that also kills the woman that she is possessing.
Sam. Also, Sammy. Fun fact, the woman, Sandra McCoy, who plays the Crossroads demon, was actually dating Jared at the time of shooting this episode.
What is with this man?
No, literally, he sees a woman who plays a demon in this damn show and says, hey, mama.
No, like, that's, for those who don't know at home, the second actor to play Ruby is the woman he eventually married.
Yeah, his real life wife. Who he has children with.
But yeah, that's it. It's a classic episode for a reason. We are deep in the shits with Sam and Dean's fucking mental issues. And folks, it only gets worse. The second one.
Yeah, they are so mentally ill. It's embarrassing and codependent.
Which Bella says. She's like, continuing to know what.
Mm-hmm. No, I feel like that was a really good, solid episode. Like, it was fun to watch. It had enough of a point that wasn't like, it has a point that is very clear, but it doesn't feel like it's talking to you like you're stupid, because Supernatural does tend to do that sometimes. But this time it was not. I didn't feel like I was being talked down to, which was exciting.
Supernatural makes me stupid, but,
well, yeah.
I lose brain cells, but mm-hmm. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Let's get into it. This episode is called Red Sky at Morning. So if you all know the classic phrase, you know, the classic sort of thing, if there's a red sky in the morning, sailors take warning, 'cause it's not a good sign. So a fun little Easter egg. But yeah. Let's get into it. We're like, oh, this is a boat episode. If you can tell by the title, this might be about a ship. Anyway, I don't know why I'm like giving you like I'm about to tell you what the episode is about. I don't know why I'm like, ooh, here's some potential little hoo hoo hoo. I don't know. I'm like some sort of little mischievous man. Anyway, let's start. It's nighttime. We see a woman. She's young. She's probably in her, like, 20s. She's blonde. She's wearing, like, a sports bra and some little shorts. She's jogging. Jogging at night near, like, a bay-ish, kind of, like an ocean.
Like a pier.
Yeah, it's like a pier. They don't quite say where this episode takes place, but it's safe to assume it's, like, the, like, lower New England or, like, the upper mid-Atlantic.
Oh, I thought it could also be giving Southern California, but I guess it
no, but because they were on the East Coast last episode.
Yeah, you're right.
I think they're still, because I feel like there was some other lore in this episode that makes me be like, this sounds like some bullshit that was happening on the East Coast. But she's jogging, and first of all, That's how you know this episode was written by a man. Women are not jogging at night by themselves with headphones in. But she, as she's jogging, she stops like a water fountain and she looks up and there's this like ship. Like a sailing ship. A pirate ship, almost. It's not actually a pirate ship, but the idea, it evokes pirate ship to the casual viewer. And it's weird. It's like an apparition, almost. Like, it's kind of see-through, and then it sails off and kind of disappears. And she looks at it, kind of looks around like, oh my god, am I crazy? And she puts her headphones back in, and she runs back to her house. Then we see her. She's in the shower, and she's facing the spout, and we see in the background, like, this nasty black hand, like, put its hands on the glass, and water starts pouring out. And then she turns around, and it's not there. And she opens the shower door, and she looks out, and there's nothing in there. And then she gets back in the shower, and then from the outside of the shower, we see her get, like, strangled. Like, we see her face, like, come up against the glass, and it's, like, steamy, so you don't see the rest of her body, you just see her face.
It was giving season one scary, because much like the fucking episode with the black water, I was like, oh, this is giving me nightmares, because I'm a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, and it kills her, and then it's, like, supernatural. So, that's where we're at. We cut to the boys. They are in the car, as they always start, and they're having an argument. These last two episodes have been very argument in the car heavy, but Dean is yelling at Sam, and he's like, oh, so where's the missing bullet, Sam? There's a missing bullet from the Colt. You thought I wouldn't notice? And Sam's like, oh, you know what, whatever. It's not, like, kind of trying to argue back. And Dean's like, no. I know for a fact that you went to confront the Crossroads demon by yourself, and you used a bullet. Why would you do that? And he's like, she was being a smartass. And he's like, so am I out of my deal? And he's like, well, no. I think I would have probably told you that if that was the case. And Dean's like, that was fucking pointless. What? Don't do that shit again. Oh, my God. And they're having mad beef, so just keep that in mind. But they are, as the boys are, on their way to a case. Which is funny, because this person they're about to talk to, her last name is Case. But they visit this woman, her name is Gertrude Case. And they are posing as, like, detectives. And they're talking, she's an older woman. Like, she's important to remember, but she's a much older woman. And she's like, you know, it's funny, I already gave my statement to the detective from the police office. And Dean's like, no, well, we're from the sheriff's office. It's a totally different office. Anyway, tell us about your niece, Sheila. You know, tell us about her death. And she's like, well, they said she drowned in her shower. Tell me, how does someone drown in the shower? That's so weird. And plus, I thought the case was closed. I thought you'd figured it out. And they're like, oh, well, you know, we're still looking into it. And she goes, are you guys working the case with Alex? And Dean is like, yeah, absolutely working with Alex. Yeah, us and Alex are tight. And Gertrude is like, oh, well, in that case, I'll tell you about this ship that Sheila saw. And she tells them that Sheila told her that she saw, like, a ghost ship. And she's like, yeah, do you think that this has something to do with that? Alex thinks it does. And they're like, yeah, you know what, maybe. But the case is still open. And she's like, oh, really? Okay, great. And this woman is also, like, definitely making eyes at Sam the whole time and, like, hitting on him low-key. Like, they're like, oh, Miss Case. And she's, or Mrs. Case. And she's like, it's Miss Case. And she says that to Sam, and I'm like, girl, leave him alone.
It's so, here's the problem. Number one, when someone's like, you can't drown in your shower. Yes, you can. You can drown in an inch of water. Watch your kids in the pool. Adults mm-hmm. can drown too. Number two, the fact that they make sexual harassment an ongoing joke in this fucking episode, you're like.
Mm-hmm. And it only gets worse.
Well, at sexual harassment and assault, frankly, because. Yeah,
it borders on it. But it's funny because it's towards Sam and he's a man.
Yeah. Like, it's what? Funny. And, like, he's so uncomfortable the whole time. And they're like, tee hee ha ha. And you're like, no, not tee hee ha ha.
Yeah.
No tee hee ha ha.
I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a shock that male survivors have trouble coming forward when you have shit like this on television. No, like, played for laughs.
Also, we're making fun of older women's sexuality. Fuck that, too.
It's bad all around.
It's bad all around. Which kind of sucks because, like, there's other parts of this episode that are really yeah. great. But, like, this running gag, you really think, oh, it's just going to be this scene. No, no.
Mm-mm.
It just keeps on trucking. You're like, yeah.
So they go outside and they're walking up to the curb and Dean's like, where's my car? I parked the car here. And Sam's like, well, did you feed the meter? He's like, of course I fed the meter, Sam. Where? Oh my God. Someone stole my car. Someone stole my car. He starts like yelling. He's like, someone stole my car. And then Sam's like, it's all right. We're going to whoa, whoa, whoa. And Dean's like standing with his hands on his knees, like trying not to hyperventilate. Because he's freaking out about the Impala being missing. And I'm like, it's okay, buddy. We're going to get your car back. But as Dean is trying not to have this meltdown, who walks up but Bella Talbot from two episodes ago? Whatever. One of the episodes we talked about in our last episode.
She's one of the several white women introduced in this season. She's the one who is British, and she's like, I'm not a hunter. I trade in supernatural antiquities, and she's the weird Catwoman character, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes she's cool and so slay, and sometimes she's not.
It really, like, depends on who's writing her, because sometimes I feel like in this episode, she's pretty interesting, but in yeah. other episodes, she's like, I'm a girl boss. And that's what I do. That's my whole personality.
Yeah. She is Gaslight Gatekeep Girl Boss. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like Dean is uncomfortable around her all the time because he's like, I'm not mansplain manipulate male wife. And she's like, but you are, though. You are mansplain manipulate male wife.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to accept that about yourself.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happens in this episode.
Listen, I'm going to say this. It's going to sound controversial, but I feel like if you gave Bella, like, a couple hours with Dean, she could get him to start using he, they pronouns.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Anyway. And, like, she like, borderline says that.
Yeah. Basically. Anyway. So she shows up, and she's like, oh, my gosh. Hey, boys. What are you doing here, silly? And they're like, where is the car? Dean's like, what did you do with my car? And she's like, I had it towed. And he's like, it was not in, like, it was not in a tow zone. Like, it shouldn't. She's like, well, after I was done with it, it was. So I'm like, girl, did you, what? So I guess she moved his car, but I digress. They're like, so what are you doing here? And she's like, well, you were talking to Gert, which I don't appreciate. And Sam is like, oh my God, you're Alex. And she's like, yeah, I am. And they're like, well, what are you doing with her? How do you know her? And she's like, well, I sell old ladies who are retired or who are looking for some solace. I sell them charms and I do seances for them so they can talk to their dead cats. And the boys are like, okay, so you're like scamming these women. Like, none of that is real. And she's like, well, maybe not, but the emotional support I give them is very real. So jot that down. But I was working with her after her niece's, with Gertrude after her niece's murder. And I told her that we were, you know, working on the case and that it was going to be solved and that it was solved. But then you guys showed up and told her it wasn't solved. So now she's withholding my payment. So I would love it if you guys left town, I'm gonna take care of it. Screw off. Anyway, you might want to go get your car before they go through it and find your little weapons cache in the trunk. So have fun. Bye. And she walks away. And Dean is like, can I shoot her? Can I kill her? And Sam's like, not in broad daylight. So I'm like, okay, love. This woman has really got them so worked up. Obsessed.
I will say that whole sequence has so many moments that are like classic supernatural gifts, and quotes. The like, can I shoot her? Not in daylight. Like, that's like iconic moments. Mm-hmm. It's also funny to be like, because usually when Dean is around women, like, he's like, hey, little mama. And this woman, he's like, I'm going to fucking kill her. And, like, not in a sexy way.
Yeah.
Like, killing her with my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dean is literally like, if I stare at her hard enough, maybe her head will explode.
I think she's the turning point to his, like, maybe I'm gay.
Yeah. Thing.
He's like, maybe women suck.
Well, here's my thought. I think that this is what makes him realize that he's like, oh my god, I kind of like it when they're mean to me. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway. Then we cut. It's the middle of the night. There's this man. He's in his bathroom brushing his teeth. It's a very nice bathroom, like in a very nice house. And this guy's brushing his teeth, and we as the audience see, like, a figure rush behind him just, like, across the camera's view really fast. And he, like, hears it, and he turns around. He doesn't see anything, but he notices that his bathtub is on, and it's filling with water. And he's like, well, that's weird. He walks over, and he notices that the water is, like, this dark greenish, like, borderlining on, like, black water color. And he's like, okay, he turns the faucet off and he pulls the spout and it doesn't drain. So he goes to reach his hand in to see, like, maybe there's a clog in the drain or whatever. And he goes to reach in, but before he can, a hand shoots up out of the water and grabs his neck and his face and starts, like, it starts choking him, but then, like, the veins in his face, like, turn black and his eyes sink in. And it's, like, some very subtle is a strong term, but for the time, very subtle CG. And, like, it is quite scary. Like, his eyes, like, sink into his head and roll back.
That shit was fucked up and crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shit was crazy. The next day, it's the next morning, we see this man, and he is clearly upset, standing out front of this house, and there's, like, police, and we see him talking to Bella, who is, like, asking questions, and she has an American accent, and she's like, so tell me a little about it. And he's like, I don't know if I can keep doing this. She's like, oh, well, I just have a couple more questions. And then Sam and Dean roll up and are like, oh, we're with the sheriff's office, and flash their badge. And she's clearly posing as a reporter. And Dean's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Here, ma'am, I think you're done. She's like, oh, well, I had a couple more questions. And Dean's like, I don't think you do. Bye. And as she's walking away, he goes to this man and he's like, I'm so sorry. They're like roaches. The press.
And she makes this face. She's like, ugh.
Yeah, she's like, okay, shut up. But we find out that this man, his name is Peter Warren. It was his brother who had drowned, quote unquote, that night. And they're talking to him. And they're like, so tell us a little about what happened. And he's kind of telling them. And he mentions that they both saw the ghost ship. And they're like, oh, so you both saw it. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, I don't know why that's important. And they're like, yeah, okay, well, whatever. Thank you for your time. And they leave. Then the Winchesters step away from Peter, and Bella comes over to them. And Bella is like, okay, well, it's too late for them, so I think I'm just gonna head out. You guys should probably too. it's whatever. And they're like, no, well, we're going to stay in it, like, and try to save him. And she's like, okay, well, you can't save him. Like, it's too late and you guys aren't going to be able to. So we'll see ya.
I love the heavy-handed metaphor here of, wow, it's too late to save one of the brothers.
Yeah.
Ha, 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 ha.
But it's just funny because Bella's also just like, I don't give a fuck. And they are roasting her. They are like, oh, so you just don't care about people. You could be helping people. You could be doing this and this and this. And she's like, yeah, I get paid to do a job, so I'm going to go do my job.
And she's like, and bye. And what are you fueled by? Revenge? You're, like, one step away from a serial killer. And they're like, what the fuck, bitch?
Like, yeah, she's like, I get paid to do my job. What do you guys do? Oh, you think you're doing such a good job for society? Okay, interesting. Yeah. Because she's like, I'm motivated by money, and what are you guys motivated by? Anger, revenge, all this bullshit. Anyway, I'm leaving. Goodbye. So she leaves. Then we cut to the evening. Sam and Dean are sitting in the Impala outside of Peter's house and, like, watching him as he is doing his nightly tasks. And he has these big-ass, like, bay windows and, like, this beautiful house. And as they're talking, Sam is like, yeah, you know, like, I'm trying to figure out what the connection is between them and Sheila, who's the first woman who died. And he's like, I don't know. I mean, they seem like they're all really, like, nice, fine people. You know, these two brothers, their dad died a couple years ago, but he, like, had a really nice real estate firm, and he passed it on to his sons, and now they live a moderately wealthy life. And Dean's like, oh, how much? And Sam's like, $120 million. Dean's like, damn, that is the life, huh? And I'm like, so true, guys. I agree. But, yeah, so they have a dead dad who gave them his wealth. And as they're having this conversation, Peter, like, looks out his window and sees them, and then he comes downstairs and is like, hey, what are you guys doing here? And Dean's like, oh, I think we've been made. So they get out of the car and they're like, no, we're here to protect you. And he's like, you guys aren't really cops, are you? And they're like, no. Sam's like, we are cops. We're just worried that something is gonna, we're worried about you, so we're doing a stakeout. We're undercover. And he's like, I don't believe you. Stay away from me. And he, like, runs to get into his car to drive away. And Sam and Dean are like, oh, fuck it. Okay, great. As he is driving away, he pulls up to his, his gate, because he lives in a gated house. So he pulls up to his gate and he goes to exit. But as he is exiting, he looks over and there is a man who has very long, shaggy hair and, some scruff of a beard, and the man is sitting in his passenger seat and reaches over and, like, grabs him and then, like, kind of lets go, but he starts, like, spitting up water, and water starts coming in through the windows, almost like the car is submerged, but it's not, because it's in his driveway. But water starts pouring into the car. He starts, like, choking up water. Sam is like, Dean, grab the salt shotgun. The rock salt, whatever. So Sam runs over and he puts his hand, like, on the window. He's trying to, like, break in. And he sees this man. And Dean runs over and he sees the man. And he's like, Sam, get out of the way. And he shoots the rock salt. And the spirit, like, dissipates. And Sam pops open the car. And Peter is dead. It's too late. He drowned. But it's a really scary scene, actually. Like, I was not scared or anything, but it was very well done. It was a little spooky. I think just the idea of, like, drowning uncontrollably when on you're not land. In the water, yeah, is very that's scary.
Just fucking scary, bro.
Then we cut back. The Winchesters are basically squatting in this empty house in town. Like, it's, like, a dilapidated old house, and they're just, like, hanging out, like, that's where they're staying. And they're, like, poring over this research. They're trying to figure out what's going on with this ship. They had gotten some details from Peter, like, when they had interviewed him, because he had seen the ship, so he told them, like, oh, it has, like, a mermaid on the front, it has this style of mast, it has this. So he'd given them some specifics. But when they tried to, like, look into the ship, like, ships that had crashed in the area, they found that it had been, like, there were, like, 150, like, over 150 that had crashed there. So they were like, okay, fuck, this is gonna be hard. But they're like, okay, so if you see the ship, you die. That has to be what it is. We just need to figure out what ship this is so we can figure out what spirit it is. Like, we need to narrow it down. So they've been poring over this research, and they're not getting any sort of results. But they're in this house, they're squatting, they're going over the books, and Bella walks in, and she's like, wow, you guys, like, really are actually squatting. That shit is embarrassing.
And they're like, I love when she drags them for just living like insane people.
Yeah, she's like, dude, don't be doing this. And they're like, okay, well, fuck you. Don't just, like, come in here. What do you want? And she's like, well, listen, I've decided that I want to help with, you know, some information. And they're like, okay. And she's like, yeah, so I have looked into it, and this ship is a death omen. So if you see it, you die. We just, you know, need to know what ship it is, and then we can figure out how to stop it. And they're like, okay, yeah, great. As soon as we figure it out. And she's like, oh, I actually know what it is. It's called the Espirito Santo. And I also have this information of a person who was hanged. He was a sailor, and he was treasonous. So he's hanged, and then they removed his hand after death to make a hand of glory.
He was wrongly hanged in a kangaroo court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that she used that phrase.
She does use the phrase a kangaroo court. But Bella's like, yeah, we need to get this hand, and we need to salt and burn it in order to vanquish the spirit. And the brothers are like, okay, but, like, why would you want to do that? And she's like, well, maybe I'm turning a new leaf. Okay? Regardless of what I think, this is what we have to do to stop it. That's what you guys want to do, right? And they're like, yeah, okay, well, where's the hand? Like, we need to find the hand. And she's like, oh, I know exactly where it is. It's at this maritime museum on display. And I know exactly how we can get it. But you guys are going to have to follow my plan. Cut.
Here comes this... one of the most iconic moments in Supernatural.
Mm-hmm. So Bella is standing there. She is, like, in the main level of this house, and she's like, she's dressed to the nines. She's wearing a little black dress, like a cocktail dress, and she looks very beautiful, clearly done up. And she's like, Dean, hurry up, Sam is already there with his date, we need to hurry. And Dean walks down the stairs, and he's wearing a tux, and the camera, like, films him like it's supposed to be sexy. And maybe I'm just a lesbian, but I was just like, he looks like a Ken doll dressed up in clothes that didn't come with him.
Well, I think that's kind of the point, though, because, like, he's like, I feel uncomfortable. I have never worn clothes like this before.
Maybe, but, like, she is looking at him. I think that it's that, but, like,
objectively, like, he looks very handsome.
See, and that's
he also looks very uncomfortable. And see, he's like,
and that's where, like, I don't get it. I fear that I can't go on this journey with you straight women. Or, like, even women who are attracted to men. I'm sorry.
Objectively, he looks quite good, whatever. And she's like, and she's looking at him like, oh, I hit that. And he's clearly uncomfortable. Jensen is acting the shit out of it, because Jensen's like, I'm very uncomfortable. I just had a very sad thought. Because I was like, oh, did Dean ever get to, like, go to prom?
Absolutely not. Oh, wait, he did.
Well, no, we don't know that he did, because he stole Sam's prom date.
Yeah. Don't want to think about that.
Has he ever worn a tux?
I don't know. But he comes down the stairs, and he's standing there, and he's like, so. And Bella's like, we should absolutely have angry sex after this. Right?
The way she delivers this, like, line is so iconic.
No, she's like, yeah, we should have angry sex after this. Mm-hmm. And she's looking like she wants to eat him up.
Dean is literally, like, usually he'd be like, yeah, okay. This is why in every episode they write a different Dean Winchester, and he has, like, 70 different personalities, because he's just looking at her like, why'd I never think of that before?
Yeah.
And he's like, he's not even like, all right. He's just like,
huh? I think it's also fueled by the fact that he hates her so much.
And again, not in a sexy way. He's like, mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. I just think it's, he is not Spike Spiegel, I like a woman who could kick my ass.
I think he is, but just not in this way.
This was part of the gears starting to turn. He was like, huh? Hold on.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
This scene, I feel like it had much more of an impact on you than it had on me, because I just saw it and I was like, I don't give a shit.
Here's the problem. Can we just go? I had seen GIFs of this scene for years before I actually saw it. Oh, so wow. When I actually saw it, I was like, oh, this is funny. But
I love
before,
that for you.
When I saw it, I was like, yeah, he is very attractive. Is she. So
she is very attractive. No, because I think that's the problem is I just was like, I want to see her.
Yeah.
She looks sexy. I don't care about him.
Also, no, they are also very much giving, like, when couple goes to Met Gala and he is just wearing a tux.
Mm-hmm. But, anyway. So, they go to this gala at this maritime museum, and they get there, and who is already there with his date but Sam? And who is his date? Gertrude, Miss Case. She is Sam's date. And she is constantly making comments towards Sam, objectifying him and sexualizing him. And he's like,
Sam is having literally the worst day. Like, it's mm-hmm. not good.
Yeah, he's being literally, like, groped by this old woman. And I'm like, this is so bad. But I digress. I won't talk about it too long because it makes me uncomfortable. But Dean and Bella, who is, again, Gert thinks her name is Alex, Dean and Bella are like, okay, we need to get upstairs because that's where the hand is being kept. How do we do this? Bella is like, okay, hold on, I have a plan. And then she just collapses into Dean's arms and he catches her and he's like, my waiter, who there's like a guy holding like a plate of food. Like little, hors d'oeuvres. And he's like, is there any crab in that? My wife has a horrible seafood allergy. And the guy walks over and he's like, oh, no, there's not. And Dean takes one and stuffs it in his mouth. He's like, and that is delicious. Please tell your chef I said so.
Anyway. That is another iconic moment that you've probably seen a gif of him just stuffing the thing in his mouth while he's holding her.
Yeah, she just passed out in his arms. And, like, the security guy comes over and he's like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, my wife, the Brandy, she's just a total lightweight. Do you have anywhere where she can lay down just so she can get back on her feet? And the guy's like, oh yeah, okay, follow me. And they go upstairs into like a almost like a study sort of room that has a couch. And Dean's like, yeah, thanks so much, man. And the security guy goes back downstairs and he puts Bella down on the couch. And she's like, okay, I'll stay here. You go get the hand. It is in this room. And it's in a glass case that is rigged to have an alarm. So you can handle that, right? And he's like, yeah, I can do that. Like, he literally does that. Like, she's like, you can handle that, right? And he goes,
it's kind of iconic.
No, and then he goes to get the hand. And he goes to get it, and literally, like, it's literally just a hand. Like, it's not preserved in anything. It's just a loose hand. I'm like, guys, that would not stay fresh. Like, that would not still look like that after however many years it's been.
I have so many questions.
Like, no, because sometimes that's a weird thing I know a lot about is how, like, not to sound like a freak, but, like, how, like, embalming works and how, like, things decompose, and I'm like, that is not how that would happen, but I digress. I need to suspend my disbelief.
That was so neurotypical of you to be like, I know a lot about how things decompose.
Shut up. Anyway, but Bella, while Dean is getting the hand, Bella is like in this office and she sees a little glass bottle that has a boat in it, and it's like kind of small, like it like fits in your hand, and she kind of grabs it, and then she hears a knock on the door of the security guard. And he's like, sir, ma'am, are you done? And he goes to open the door, and she comes up and, like, slips the shoulder off of her dress and looks like she's holding it up in the front. And she answers it, and she's like, oh my gosh, yes, we're okay in here. And he's like, are you done with the room? And she's like, oh, we just need like one more minute, if you don't mind. And the guy's like, oh, okay. And as he walks away, Bella's like, oh my gosh, ha ha ha, that tickles, ha ha ha. Like, clearly trying to make it sound like they're fucking. And as the security guard's walking away, Dean walks up and like runs into him. And the guy's like, oh, yeah. And Dean's like, yeah, thanks for taking care of my wife. And the guy goes, yeah, someone's taking care of her, all right.
I just love the idea that this guy really thinks that Dean is getting cucked, right?
No, literally. It's so sad.
It's so funny. Like, this man thinks that he witnessed, like, such drama.
He's witnessing a marriage fall apart as we speak.
And Dean doesn't even know.
No, Dean has no idea. But Dean walks into the room and he shows Bella the hand and she's like, okay, perfect, here, I can hold it. I think it'll be less conspicuous in my purse than it will be in your pocket. And he's like, yeah, I don't think so. So he wraps it in a cloth and like a napkin sort of thing, and he tucks it into his jacket pocket. And she kind of pats him and they go back down to the party where Sam is still being accosted by this old woman. Where she's like, I never want this night to end, and keeps touching his ass. And it's like, okay, love. And he then is like, tell me about your niece. And she's like, oh, Sheila, yeah, it's really sad. And Sam's like, yeah, but like, I don't know, like, why would any of this happen to her? Like, do you think she's connected to those two guys who died? And she's like, you know what? You know, Sheila, her cousin, like, died in a car crash. It's really weird. She just kind of starts spilling this. But she's like, yeah, her cousin died in a car crash and she was driving and she made it and he died. And you know what they say about those brothers' father. And Sam's like, well, what do they say? And she's like, that, come in, I'll whisper it to you in a gross, creepy way. And she's like, well, they say that they killed their father for the money. And Sam's like, oh, that's really weird. And then Dean comes downstairs and Bella appears and Gertrude is like, oh my gosh, Alex, he's in love with me. And she kind of makes a joke and Bella's like, I'm going to go take Gert here and we're going to go and take a cold shower, like as a joke, and ushers her away. And Sam and Dean are like, okay, whatever, bye.
And she's like, see you at the cemetery.
Yeah, she's like, see you at the cemetery where they're going to go burn the hand. So they go to leave, and as they're walking out, Sam is like, well, he tells Dean what happened and like how he found out that, about Sheila's cousin dying and these brothers potentially killing their dad. And Dean's like, okay, so maybe the thing that links them is that like there is the blood of a family member on their hands for one reason or another. Like, that has to be it. And then Dean's like, well, we have this now, so it's not going to be a problem. And he goes and opens his jacket pocket and he takes the napkin out. And as he's unwrapping it, it's the glass bottle with the boat in it that Bella was holding. And she has taken the hand. And he's like, oh my God, you're fucking kidding me right now.
And she's pickpocketed him before.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I'm like, wow, you fucking clown.
No, literally. But then we cut to Bella, who's in her car, and she has, like, a bag full of money. Like, it must be, like, what, like, $100,000? Like, some bullshit insane huge number, because it's, like, packed, like, little, packs of, like, 10,000. It has to be a lot. But she is looking through her money, and she's at the pier, and then she looks up and sees the ghost ship. And she's like, oh my fucking God, okay. So Dean and Sam are at their place where they're squatting and they're trying to come up with ideas. And Dean's like, oh my God, this bitch, I'm so mad at her right now. Like, I will kill her when I see her. And then who knocks on their door but Bella? And she walks in and they're like, oh, what are you doing here?
I wish he had said, Bella, where have you been, loca?
Literally. But she walks in and she's like, listen, the hand is gone. I sold it. It's already halfway overseas now. so we can't burn it. We need to come up with another idea. And they're like, okay, so you sold it. And she's like, I had a buyer. Like, that's how I knew all the information about it, was because I had been contracted to get this when I, like, that was how I found out about it. That's why I'm here. And they're like, okay, well, why did you change your mind now? And she's like, well, because I saw the ship. And Dean is like, I know you are a no good bitch, but this is bad. That's really dark. Because you killed someone in your family. Someone's blood's on your hands. Who is it? Your dad? Your little sister? Something? And she's like, you wouldn't understand. And I'll do it myself. Fine. You don't need to help me. And Sam's like, well, you know, you sold the only thing that could help you out of it. Or maybe not. And they tentatively, like, agree to help her. Then cut to a graveyard. And there's, like, a summoning circle. And Bella's like, do you really think this is gonna work? And Sam's like, well, maybe. And Sam starts reading off, like, a summoning ritual. And then it starts raining, like, shitting down rain. And as Sam is reading this, it's getting more and more chaotic. And the ghost, the initial ghost of the man who we saw kill those other people, he shows up and he grabs Bella. And, like, she starts, like, spitting up water like that guy did in his car. And Dean's trying to fight him, but, like, it's a constant back and forth. Dean's getting his ass beat. And he's like, Sam, read faster. So Sam's trying to read this summoning spell really, really fast.
Wait. Hold on. This is, and I was reminded of this recently, the first time that the name Castiel is ever mentioned in Supernatural.
Yeah, because in the Latin incantation for the summoning ritual, the word Castiel is in it. And it was
several angels' names are said. This is not on purpose.
It was absolutely not on purpose, but it was so funny because I was like sitting there, like, kind of, it's not that I wasn't paying attention, but I was looking at my phone, and then Sam's like, Castiel, and I'm like, oh!
I literally was like, oh! And here's the thing, he says Castiel, he's like, says a couple of names, says Castiel, and then it immediately cuts to Dean's face, and I'm like, oh, we can't keep doing this.
No.
We cannot be doing this.
Supernatural, like, I fucking hate you.
I was like, oh, look, jump scare.
Yeah.
literally, there's something about it. I felt God in this Chili's. Like, mm-hmm. Anyways.
Yeah. But he's doing this. He's doing the summoning. And then as Dean is fighting this spirit, a man appears. And this man was the captain of that ship. The captain who, mind you, conducted that kangaroo court that got that guy hanged. And the spirit who's attacking Bella kind of stops and looks over at the captain, and he goes, you hanged me, you killed me, you're my brother, you killed your own brother. And it's like, oh,
you were my brother, Anakin.
Now why'd you have to you'd ruin the drama, don't bring them up anyway. But you find out, like, oh my god, it was his brother. And the brothers sort of, like, rush at each other, and they, like, collide in this, like, splash of water, and they disappear. And then Bella, like, stops coughing, and she's okay. And then we cut. The boys are back at this dilapidated house that they're squatting in. They're packing up their stuff to go. It's clearly the next day. And Bella walks in. And she's like, you guys really need to start locking this damn door, because anyone could just walk in here. And Dean's like, yeah, anyone did. What do you want? And she's like, listen, I don't like having, owing anyone anything. And they're like, oh, sorry, are you here to say thank you? And she goes, no, I'm here to pay you. And she tosses both of them wads of cash. And she's like, so that's going to be about $10,000. I figure that should cover it. And Dean's like, it's easier for you to give us, to give us both $10,000. I think she gave both of them $5,000. But he's like, it's easier for you to give us $10,000 than it is for you to say thank you. And she's like, ciao, boys.
No. He says, too easy to say thank you. You are a damaged person. And she's like, takes one to no one. Bye.
She's like, takes one to no one. Ciao, boys. And then leaves. And Sam is like, listen, say what you want about her, but you have to admit she's got style.
He was like, she is slaying the house boots down. No, I gotta give her that.
Sam loves a girl boss. Dean is still on his girl boss loving journey, but yeah. Sam loves a girl boss.
Yeah, Sam definitely loves a girl boss. Yeah. He was like, I can't respect. Also, he loves anybody who makes Dean fucking nuts.
Yeah, that is true.
Like, and okay, for Dean Winchester to call you fucked up in the head.
No, literally. And for her to shoot that right back at him, I know that shit hurt. Especially right after in the last episode, Sam was like, you're not dad. Like, I know it was hurting him.
Dean is being attacked on all sides. This man is about to die.
The call is coming from inside the dilapidated squatter house. Anyway, the boys are in the car. They're driving out of town. And Sam's like, so what are we going to do with all this money? And Dean's like, I know, baby, we're going to Atlantic City. We're going to do some slots, always bet on black. You know how it is.
This part is funny to me because it is 2007. We are in the we are about to hit the recession. We are in the recession. Yeah. Atlantic City was not doing so good at that time.
A financial crisis is imminent, guys. Please be careful.
No, but like specifically Atlantic City was like not like fucking decimated. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Just saying words. Like,
it's so dark. I do like that they're going to Atlantic City, though. This does confirm this is East Coast vibes.
Yeah, you're right. Because otherwise he would have said Vegas, because he said Vegas before.
Yeah. But as they're driving, Sam is kind of making a face at him. Like, oh my God, we're going to gamble away all our money, you stupid fuck. And Dean kind of looks over at him. He's like, you know what, Sam? I want to apologize. I understand why you went to go hunt down the Crossroads demon now. And I appreciate it. I don't know what I would do, you know, if I lost you. If I was in your position, I would have done the same thing. In fact, he did do the same thing.
Yeah.
So, but he was like, yeah, I would have done the same thing in your position. So I understand, but I don't want you to worry about me, okay? It's going to be all right. And Sam's like, no, I don't want you to worry about me. I want you to worry about you. I want you to care about the fact that you're, like, fucking dying. Like, of course I want to save you because I don't want to, like, lose you, but it drives me crazy that you don't, like, value yourself enough to care that you're literally dying. And then Dean kind of, like, makes a face at him and keeps driving, and that's the end of it.
No, he, like, interrupts him almost mid-sentence, and he's like, so I think I'm going to play Russian roulette. And you're like,
yeah.
Or no, he goes, I think I'm going to play craps. And you're like, oh, sir, you are mentally unwell.
Yeah. Like, Sam is like, you don't care about yourself. You don't, like, you don't care that you're dying. He's like, anyway, I'm going to play craps when we get there. It's like, so.
Oh, Dean. Oh.
I love Dean Winchester so much is the problem. He's just so.
He's so fucked up and crazy. I do love that Bella beat his ass so bad that he immediately apologized to his brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was like, I can't be like her. I can't.
Yeah. Also, I was like, God, it's just, Sam said, okay, if we're all ganging up on Dean, it's my turn.
It's my turn with the Dean bashing bat. It's also kind of sad because there's like, oh, there's the whole thing of that, like, Dean feels like he's his brother's keeper, and Sam's like, you don't have to be my keeper. I am a grown man. And there's also this piece where, like, they're talking either in this episode or in the previous one, and he's like, you know, I want you to be able to, like, to move on and to, like, and what would you do without me? And he's like, you know, you would hunt and you would move on and you would live your life and you would whatever. And I'm sitting there, like, knowing what happens in the last episode. I'm like, fuck you, man. And fuck you.
What's also so fucked up, that did happen at the end of this episode when he's saying, like, I understand why you did that. Because Dean also has a moment where he's like, Sam, like, you have to understand, like, you're better than me. Like, he says that verbatim. He's like, you're better than me.
if you die, I would lose everything. If I die, you'll be okay. And you'll continue to hunt and you'll continue to live your life. And it's going to be okay. You will be fine.
The fact, and every time this show reminds me that that is what they went with, I'm like, kill yourself.
No, literally, every time I think about how this show ends, I get more angry.
not to be that person, but I did just watch Banana Fish for the first time. Spoilers for Banana Fish, but it also ends with character who has suffered so incredibly badly and who was made into a weapon wins, but then immediately dies. And I literally was like, do not supernatural me. Do not do this to me.
A fun thing about this episode, completely separate, is it's so funny juxtaposed with last week's episode where Dean calls Sam gay for knowing about fairy tales. I think this is a like cut from the same cloth. I think Sam was remembering that conversation because when they leave the party, Sam was like, yeah, Miss Havisham could not keep her hands off me. And Miss Havisham is this elderly spinster from Great Expectations. And I'm like, and Dean was like, who? And instead of elaborating and explaining who that is, Sam just goes, ah, never mind. And I think that Sam was like, if I let Dean know I read the classics, if I let Dean know that I've read Charles Dickens, he's just going to call me a slur.
He's going to call me gay again.
It's not worth it for him to be homophobic again. I can't do it.
Dean Winchester, I was like, girl, you don't know Great Expectations. The school system failed you.
No, and also I'm like, how do you know so much about television and like movies and stuff? Well, and you don't know.
Because he was raised on TV because his father wasn't there.
Yeah, let me finish my fucking sentence. I'm saying, how do you know so much about TV and you've never heard anyone reference Miss Havisham?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that's like, you should have definitely heard that before. That's a pretty... like big cultural reference. Like, even if you haven't read Great Expectations, you would still know when someone says, oh, that's a Miss Havisham, like, that's, you're talking about someone who's like an old lady.
Yeah, like,
bruv.
Great Expectations reference in Supernatural, not clickbait.
Oh my god, that's crazy. That would be, this is where this show slowly morphs into a Great Expectations AU. This is actually, a lot of people don't say this about Supernatural, but it is actually, Eric Kripke told me himself that it was actually started off as a Great Expectations adaptation.
That's so hateful. Anyways, thank you for listening. For more cursed Supernatural content, you can follow us on social media at Mystery Spotcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Tumblr. You can also ask us cursed Supernatural questions in our TikTok Q&A. Our Tumblr ask box, or by emailing us at themysteryspotcast@gmail.com. If you enjoyed listening to us suffer through this show, please rate the show, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, Overcast, whatever platform you have. If it lets you rate and review, do it if you haven't already. And tell a friend, because this is like an MLM. It really helps people discover our show. If you want to hear more from us, we are also two of the co-hosts of RuPaul's Pod Race, a queer Star Wars podcast. We did just celebrate our two-year anniversary of the podcast and of our friendship, which also includes me and Ollie. And our two-year anniversary for the show is coming very soon. You know, if you just want to celebrate friendship, celebrate the season, it'll be a great time. And see you two Tuesdays from now for more slaying people, queer baiting things, supernatural business.